Wednesday evening, 11:16:22. We're going to talk today about speaking to your mountains. It's not anything you haven't heard before, but the Lord is defining our walk. He's getting us to where we don't just do stuff.
That's true.
You know, what we do is with purpose, because we're led of the Spirit, not just stuff. You know, in church, we learn stuff. Maybe the people who taught us, they were doing it right, but it came across us. Well, if we, we'll go do that. Well, how come it doesn't seem to work the same way for us than it does for them? I think they had a secret. All right, we're going to look at that. I would like to say this first before we get into the teaching tonight. We as believers have been given power over the devil and his works. That goes without saying. What I believe, what has not been said enough, is that we cannot do it in our flesh. See, the Holy Spirit's just been leading this way for quite a while now about pulling aside, looking inside, that the walk of the Spirit is in the Spirit. It's not anything to do really with the flesh. All right. I think this is where shipwreck faith comes in. We have not realized that even Jesus could not do what he did in the flesh. He said that he cast out devils by the finger of God. In other words, you better know what you're doing or you'll be... could be skinned. He heard from the Father before he spoke to mountains or cast out devils. All these things are available to us, but are we sanctioned to use them if we have not been authorized? It's like going into the military and you've got all this arsenal to use, but you're not allowed. I remember Top Gun. Can I fire? No, do not fire unless you're fired upon. They had these jets stocked with stuff, but only at certain ways could they be used. Certain circumstances, certain instances. It's the same way in the Spirit. All right? It is like military combat. Any fleshly work is pointless, useless, and we are only wasting our time engaging this way. That's why we can go days, months, years, and try this and try that, and nothing ever seems to work. I can tell you in my own personal life, when I'll just use sickness, for instance, or something come against your body. The times that I pulled aside, looked inside, before the Lord, that's when I got results. Or I was so engrossed in the Word that I didn't even know. The Lord just took something away that had bothered me, and it just left. I was so intent on His Word and loving His Word and all that that I wasn't even thinking about that other. And it just, Lord, it was just gone. I had a condition like that. I was diagnosed at 27 years old. I had to take this horrible medication. And when I came into the Word of Faith, I'd spend up to noon every day just engrossed in the Word. And then one day I realized I didn't need my medication anymore. I don't even know when it left. But I was seeking the kingdom. I wasn't seeking healing. Okay. All right, what separates the men from the boys in the faith walk? This is spiritual. This is a spiritual walk. It's not we are in flesh and blood, but this is not a fleshly walk. This is a spirit walk. I think as we learn to practice this, that we'll get to where we operate in the Spirit like we do in the natural. You don't think about going to fix a supper or going and brushing your teeth or running here, running there, doing this, doing that. It's just natural to you. Well, I believe the walk of the Spirit should be that natural to us. And I believe as we learn to walk it that way, do it that way, and not just give into the flesh so much, then we'll get to where the spiritual kicks in like it's natural, because it's kind of still strange, because it's kind of like a once in a while. But when supernatural becomes natural, it's not going to be just once in a while. It's going to be like wham, all the time. And I believe that's where the Spirit is trying to get us to where we're always looking in here about things. We're never looking out there. Because when you look out there, you're going to be disappointed. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We do okay on the outer walk, but it's learning to walk this inner walk. We've grown up, we're born and we went to grade school, middle school, high school, some college, and then, we learned all the ways of the world and we do all the things in the natural. Well, spiritual growth is no different. The natural growth. You don't get there overnight. We want to hurry up and just be giant killers in the spirit realm, but we've not maybe had enough time and enough training to get to that place. All right. Paul likens it this way. This is verse 11. He said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, and when I became a man, I put away childish things." So, childish thinking, childish understanding, childish speaking, and childish actions. Yeah, this is what people don't understand. It takes time to develop the spirit walk. I know Brother Hagin taught that. He was the only person I ever heard teach this, where he was talking about how you don't go from being born to college overnight. You have to grow. And see, Jesus, when he was 12 in the temple, what did he do? He ended up with the leaders, and they were astonished at his knowledge at 12 years old. But it said his parents, when they found him, of course, they were upset at him. But it said he went and was subject to them until his time, which was 18 years later. So he had to have spiritual growth to go with that wisdom. Because I know this, a lot of times you can have revelation and you can have wisdom in certain areas, but you don't have the spiritual growth to accommodate that. Not yet. Okay. Peter cautioned us not to return to operating in our flesh, especially when we have learned to flow in the Spirit or follow the Spirit. This is 2 Peter 2:20. It's like Peter walking. Oh, that's a first. Anyway, get back on my train of thought here. Peter walking on the water. See, Jesus said, "Come," and Peter started to walk. But because Peter didn't have the maturity, what he saw caused him to fall. All right. 2 Peter 2:20, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from their holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog has turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that is washed to her wallowing in the mire. So this spiritual maturity, there's a lot of, your mind has to come in line with it. See, that's where the problem is. That's where the battlefield is. That's where Satan hits us. And that's where we have to learn to bring that mind into submission to the Spirit. Or less we can just get out there and just flat, just not have the maturity. I know myself, there's been times I've been in places and I bailed out of it because it just got, I just couldn't take it. I just wasn't there, you know, wasn't there. I wasn't able to handle it. To feel bad about it, yeah. But sometimes we think we're more mature than we think. Okay. Galatians 5. Y'all don't know this one really well because very, very in black and white about the flesh. Verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. This is where James talks about being double-minded. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, I yet preach circumcision. Why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. In this thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed with one another. It sounds like to me that these people are struggling with the Jewish customs, and this is the walk of faith. They don't go together. But this struggle, this mental struggle, is causing problems. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. See, the flesh is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Seems to be the hardest thing in the world, especially if you're a churchy, is to just let someone just be who they are. Let the Holy Ghost train them and show them without pushing your doctrinal things or your churchy things on them. Isn't that what happens in churches? You're indoctrinated. It shouldn't be that way. Just like, well, it's in the world too. as we see in the world system, how this evil cabal has infiltrated us and indoctrinated us, MK-Ultra'd us, because they wanted to control us in every way that they could, the devil. Well, the church has not been any different because it's also been infiltrated. Not all the church, but a lot of the church has. And so, with that being said, how are you going to ever walk in the Spirit if you're full of this other stuff? It just takes time. That's why in Romans 12, 1 and 2, we are to renew our mind. That's what our nation's fixing to go through. A total renewing of the mind process of what God wanted for us as opposed to what the God of this world. Yeah. It's strong. It's hard to break. I mean, I've heard people say that. Very hard to break MK Ultra programming. Not impossible. I'm thinking they haven't read the Bible, have they? They don't know that it's God's Word that will deprogram somebody. I don't care where they've been. God's Word will do it if they'll give it enough time. They spend all their life being indoctrinated in the system. You got to give God a little time. For some reason, they think, well, you just get born again and all of a sudden everything just changes. No, it doesn't. It takes time to renew your mind. All right, Mark 11. This is about speaking to your mountains. I do not for one minute think Jesus just at random just spoke to this and did that just because who he was. Don't believe it. Not for a minute. And I would question anyone who taught that. See, they teach that because then it puts them in a place where we don't have to be like Jesus. We don't have to follow in his footsteps. There's no way we could. He was the sinless Son of God. And we're sinners saved by grace. Well, they missed the part that he came, he decided to lay aside that part, to come as a man and walk as a man to show us how to do it. He was our example. All right, Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Well, that's profound right there. Faith in God, not in the flesh. Not in your own ability, in God. Verily, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I'd say this is a mature Christian. For them to be able to say that, no doubting. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. I remember Brother Hagin coming off the bed of sickness and how many preachers put his light out. He had the revelation of this scripture right here. And they'd come and tell him, my boy, you know. In other words, they'd put him in the grave. And his light would go out. But then one day, the Holy Spirit told him, you know, if he's well, you'd be up and about. And he did. He got up. He got up, and he didn't ever go back down. And he was not even, he'd just gotten born again. But he had a revelation on this scripture here. God gave him a revelation of this scripture right here. And on that revelation, that's what caused that situation to change. You know what? After you've had that happen to you a few times, nothing else compares. You just think, all that, well, maybe, and well, do you think? Or, but when you know, and you've got that peace on the inside of you, they couldn't beat it out of you with a ball bat. That's the way it's supposed to be. Okay. Isn't that what Father did at creation? The Holy Spirit was out there hovering on the face of the waters. Brooding. It said brooding. And God said, and creation began. Father didn't just do it. He worked with the Holy Spirit to do it. They were a team. We must have the same team. See, the same team. All right, let's just look at that right quick. Genesis 1, 1 through 3. All right, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved. Strong's here says to brood or think deeply. I believe the Holy Spirit got an image. The Holy Spirit gave the image. There was a mountain. The earth was destroyed. God had made a perfect, beautiful place, and now it was completely destroyed. The Holy Spirit was brooding, thinking deeply, meditating, pondering. And then God spoke. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Do you understand that there is no supply without the Spirit for a Christian? There is no supply without the Spirit. Because it's an inside walk. In church, we got all caught up in fleshly things. Fleshly things. We can go to any church here, out here, anywhere. And it, all you see is read the bulletin, take up the offering. You know, just to have our Sunday school, have our this, have our that. We're going to have a drama tonight. Have this, have that. Nothing against those things. But actually to have a church that's actually walking and moving and functioning in the Spirit. We've seen a little bit, maybe. Really more in the time of the charismatic movement than any other time. When people were freer, people were getting free from religious bondages and things. All right. Therefore, there are not many true faith people. Just being honest. They have not learned this important thing. They are the blab it group. Trouble is they never grab it. They go away discouraged, most of them. I hate sometimes to pray for people because I know in my heart they're not grasping what I'm trying to say to them. And maybe they're not going to make it. I don't, you know, only God knows that for sure. But just grasping that fact that it's a connection to the Spirit. It's not just, you know, now I know we can pray the prayer of agreement with people and sometimes get help for them, but sometimes we can't. Sometimes they have to do it on their own faith. All right, Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord. God does not operate on time like we do. We want everything right now. Great things come to those that wait. I would say for a Christian that waits, hears from the Spirit, and acts on what the Spirit is saying, will never know failure. We were not created in Christ Jesus to fail in anything. We're to be following in His footsteps. All right, we're going to look at a few scriptures here. Matthew 18. All right, verse 1 there. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What do children have that adults don't? They don't have baggage. They are free. They just believe anything you tell them. Whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offense come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off, cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter to life halt or maimed rather than to having two hands or two feet to be cast into eternal fire. What's he talking about? He's not talking about hands and feet. This is spiritually speaking. And if thine eye, I'm talking about wrong thinking. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. What's Jesus talking about here? Sawing your foot off? Sawing your arm off? No. It's those thinking patterns that get in the way from operating in the Spirit. And we all have them. We're all dealing with our own mindsets. We're getting better. It just takes time. All right. I believe he's talking about a mode of action here, first in your understanding and thinking processes. Because these are what produce action. Let me read that again. He's talking about a mode of action that begins first in your understanding and thinking processes. Remember what Paul said. Childish understanding, childish thinking. Because they produce action. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Yeah. All right. Matthew 13. This is 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man, merchantman, seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. See, this is those thinking processes. When you tap into the kingdom of God and the supply of the Spirit, you think, who needs that other stuff? That other stuff's not any good. It's never worked, really, except to get you into a mess. When you finally realize how to operate the kingdom by the Spirit and not the flesh, you will abandon anything else. I'm telling you what. The times, like for instance in our houses, when we'd walk into a place and it was like a bomb went off on inside of us and we knew, man, we knew. And we followed the Spirit. We've done that on many occasions. And we've had people ask us, how do you get a house like this? Follow the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit. Don't they? Well, I kind of like that. I remember a couple that we knew, they talked about when they went and bought stuff, and they had a lot of stuff. They could have, well, this guy had so much stuff, Home Tebow probably called him when they run out of stuff to see if they could have some of his. They had more possessions than any people I've ever known, most unhappy people I've ever known either. Because it's not about what you possess, not at all. And where was I going with that? Let me think a minute. Okay, Lord, what was I doing with that? Oh, yeah. But they had a rule. If they wanted something, and they had everything. I'm telling you, everything. But they would make, they had a rule that they'd find something they really wanted, but they'd wait till the next day before they'd make a decision. Because a lot of it was an emotional thing. I'm thinking, well, that was a good rule. Because a lot of times, in a few hours, when the hype is gone, you're kind of like, no, you know. But when you got that peace on the inside of you, you don't ever have to doubt. You don't ever have to regret. You'll never say, I made the wrong decision. That's the way it's supposed to be. Why? Because God wants us to walk in the Spirit. He knows walking in the flesh, you're going to shipwreck. He never intended for it to be a doctrine of rules and regulations that you do to attain holiness. That's never been that's never been part of that way, ever. It's just things you learn, but there's no life in them. All right, let's keep going here. God is not going to honor the walk of the flesh. God will honor those that walk in the Spirit. All right, Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto him, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, this is the walking in the Spirit he's talking about. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. When you're in the Spirit. In your flesh, I'm sure them demons are just laughing. You think you're going to do anything without the Spirit of God? No. We are totally dependent on Him. We're totally supplied by Him. When we proceed by the Spirit, we can bind and loose, and the gates of hell won't prevail. Why do you think that Father has allowed you to be tempted? He has allowed you to be tempted for the same reason He allowed Jesus to be tempted, to see if you will give in to the flesh and walk in your old fleshly ways. Jesus wasn't turned loose in His ministry until God knew that He could trust Him. All right, Luke 4. If the Son of God had to be tried and tested before He could be released into ministry, you as a Son of God have to be tempted in your wilderness experience also. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You think, this horrible place, this has to be of the devil. It just can't be God. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Good answer. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Can God trust us when we're under heavy fire and temptation not to go south in our minds? And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. Now, let's keep going. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and a recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. All eyes of them were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and they began to say to them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness, and wonder at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? He said unto them, You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in this country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. You know what? He immediately began to get persecution coming out of that wilderness temptation. But did he? They tried to throw him down a hill. But he just passed on. You see why he had to go through what he went through so he would be strong? Because this is what he met with everywhere he went. But nobody could touch him until his time. Yeah. All right, this is from the Lord here. You have the living water inside of you. It holds the answers that you seek. Seek ye first. It's not according to the world supply, but by the Spirit supply. How do you tap into that supply? Engage the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Stay long enough to get wisdom and victory in whatever thing you face. Fear keeps man off his knees. Faith keeps him on his knees because he knows where his true source lies. All of it is inside and not outside. I may lead you to the outside, but the answer will come from the inside. Divine supply. It's not just about money. As you practice this and see the results, you'll never turn again like the dog to the vomit. By walking in the Spirit, you'll turn the tables on the devil. As you submit to God, the devil will flee. When you wait to hear about the mountain, get the answer, then speak, you will finally get what I have been doing and allowing this stuff in your life for. I'm observing what you will call it, whether you will operate in the flesh or in the Spirit that is putting on the mind of Christ. Taking the Word of God and just making a rote is powerless, fleshly, and useless. It is like putting the wrong key into a lock. The key here is in the Spirit. As you pray in the Spirit, the key will begin to open the lock. You will no longer be locked out of the kingdom and its supply. Flesh and blood do not inherit the kingdom of God. It is only by the supply of the Spirit. All right, John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. All right, Verse 1 says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made him baptize more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. That's the Spirit. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. Now he's fixing to give her this living water. Listen. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not. He's telling you right there, there's not going to be no more temple. Ye worship, ye know not what? It's just rituals. We know what we worship for salvation as the Jews, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. So if you're following the Spirit, I don't care what preacher says what. You can rely on what you're getting inside. Never again will I ever stand in that place where preachers beat me down and made me feel bad about myself. Never. When you find what's real, you can't go back to that other. You know, if they had the Spirit like they needed to have, they wouldn't be doing that. All right, one more and we're done. 1 Corinthians 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I want some of that. Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. It's all on the inside. I mean, I know there's situations where the Lord, I couldn't do anything. I waited. One time was 2 years. I just couldn't do anything. I just kept praying about it, and I just think, well, I could do this, I could do that. I thought, I just can't do that. I've got to hear from the Lord about it. Sometimes it takes some time. Sometimes it may not be on Saturday night. It may be a couple of years. It may be a few months. But if you'll stick it out and you get the answer, you'll be so glad you did. Like that scripture, you know, the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And that's the goal. Is waiting long enough to get an answer. Because what is it? He's going to keep us out of trouble, keep us from making mistakes, keep us from doing things we shouldn't do. We'll follow the Spirit. See, that narrow path, that way of the Spirit, is where life is. There isn't any life out here. All right.